Okay, Shalom Aleichem. Just nod your head yes if you can hear me. Great. Okay, let's start again from the beginning of Siman Shin Mem Aleph. Siman Shin Mem Aleph, not so many pages in the Shulchan Aruch, but it's chock full of very, very detailed practical halachos about what we call aninos. So let's start with the Shulchan Aruch. Aleph. Misha meislo meishu chayiv les abelolav kodem kfura ochel b'vayis achir. So there are a number of isurim that apply to an onain before the misa. One of them is that you're not allowed to eat in presence of the mace. So that's the first issue. The first issue is eating in presence of the mace. You can't eat, you have to eat in a bais acher, means a different room. Ein lo bais acher ochel beis chaviro. If you only have a one-room house, you have to go to your friend's house. Ein bais chaviro, if you don't even have a friend's house, you only live among enemies. Oso lo mechitza v'ochel. Then, b'dieved, the person can build a mechitza and eat in the other half of the room. V'afil mechitza al sodin sagi. And even if it's a curtain, as long as it's a halachic mechitza, we know the rules of halachic mechitza, I hope, it has to be not to something that wouldn't blow away in a ruach matsuya. If he doesn't have any of these things, can't even make a partition. He just turns backwards and eats, not facing the mace. One second. Thank you. Okay, that's the first issue. The first issue is, what are the isurim of an onain? Achila bifnei ha-meis. This Isser of an Onain is actually a little controversial because it's not clear all the other Isserim of Aninos only apply to the Onain, meaning the relative. This Isser is not 100% clear who it applies to. For the Lashon Shulchan Aruch, it sounds like it applies to only Misha Meis Lo Meishu Chayiv Les Abelolav. That is pretty clear, and that's what the Taz says. The Taz says, even though it's the reason that this Isser is Loig LaRush means making fun of the mace. Making fun of the mace, meaning I can eat and the mace can't. So why shouldn't it be usher for anyone? Just like we'll see later on, it's usher for anyone too, where it's filling in the cemetery because they're making fun of the mace that they can work filling and the mace can't. So why isn't it usher for anyone to eat in front of the mace? Because anyone can eat and the mace can't. So the Taz says, no, eating's not such a big deal. It's a very basic biological function. And therefore, it's only insulting for someone who's supposed to be paying attention to the mace to eat in front of the mace when the mace can't. But if it's someone who's not responsible for the mace, then it's not, so then it's not a problem. That's why the Machaber says it's only usher for the relatives who are supposed to bury him. Says the Shach, quoting from the Bach, he says that it's usher even on Shabbos, even though there's no aninus on Shabbos. And here we have a bit of a tension. Is this Isser for everyone because of Loig LaRush, like all the other Loig LaRushes are Isser for all human beings? Or is this a specific Isser on the Gavra who is an Onain? On the one hand, the Taz says it only applies to relatives, only to the Onain. On the other hand, the Shach says it even applies on Shabbos. And on Shabbos, you're not, the person's not an Onay. So here we have actually three possibilities as to who it applies to. Says the Maharit, quoted in the Pesach Tshuva, he says, we all like the Shach and the Taz. It applies only to relatives, but even on Shabbos, so even though they don't practice on Ninos on Shabbos, since they're the people who should be Onanim, they can't eat in front of the mace. However, the Tefillah Moshe, quoted in the Pesach Tshuva, and the Rabbi Kiva Eger, and seemingly endorsed by Rabbi Kiva Eger, because that's all he quotes, says, no, there's a machlokes between the Shach and the Taz. So then the Taz would say, the Taz would say that it applies only when there's a Ninos, and the Shach would say it applies to everyone in the whole world. Okay, I don't have enough space on my whiteboard to write everything, but according to the Moshe, the Taz says only when there's a Halos Aninos. The Maharit says in between, the people who have Aninos, even on days when there's no Aninos, and the Shach, according to the Moshe, would say to everyone in the whole world, whether they're a relative or a non-relative, that would then be against the Mechaber. The simple pshat is probably like the Maharik. The Shach and the Taz are not arguing, and the Shach is not arguing with the Mechaber, and it applies to like the relatives, even on Shabbos, and it's sort of in between. However, I saw it's Talmud of Rosh Weiss just put out some of his psakim on Avelos, says it's better to be Machaber like the Shach, so it's definitely better that no one should eat in front of the mace. It doesn't hurt to be extra mechabit the mace, but the simple pshat is probably like the Maharit. So the Tefillah Moshe is a big chiddush. So I think the simple pshat is like the Maharit, in my humble opinion. That's also what I saw in the name of Usher. But it's nice to be machmir like the Shach. It can't hurt to be a little extra respectful. Star means nice to be machmir to the mace. Okay, that is the first iser. Doesn't come up a ton nowadays, usually because people die in hospitals, they bring them to the morgues, etc. You're not usually in front of the mace. And even if someone dies at home, we live in, nowadays, people have many rooms in their house, so Mela, you know, they're not going to eat right in front of the mace anyway. But it could be like if someone's a shomer or something in the mace, keeping an eye on the mace, then if they're a relative, absolutely prohibited to eat in the room with the mace, except for these weird exceptions in the mechaber. And even if they're a non-relative, it's good to be machmer, like the Tefillah Moshe, the Medayik, in the Shach. Let's continue and see more Isurin. He continues, Benkach u Benkach, meaning regardless of how he figured out a way to eat, when he's eating, Vafilu Biracheris, even another city, we'll come back to that. Ain a mesa v'ochel, v'ain a ochel basam, v'ain a shosu yayin. Two more Isurin, mesa v'ochel. Right? Whenever he eats, he's not allowed to recline and eat, meaning eat in the manner of, in the manner of proper reclining. What does mesa v'ochel means? Says the Taz al hashulchan o al hamita. And he didn't make that up. That's found in all the Rishonim and Achronim. Now, it's a funny one. I haven't seen people being machped on this with their own name. It sounds from here, because if you remember, the Ramah in Hilchas Pesach says me'ikradin, he thinks that's why the women are makel, because me'ikradin, we hold like the Rav Yah, that our sitting on chairs at a table counts as a seva, because that's how important and rich people, B'nai Chorin, eat nowadays. So Enamos V'Esva Ochel would mean in the old days you couldn't recline on your couches like the ancient Romans. L'chor means nowadays, when the Onen eats, he should not sit at a table to eat. You know, if there's, and that makes a lot of sense to us intuitively. You all know, if you're going crazy over something, you don't sit at a table to a meal. You like chop something, sitting on a bench or standing or whatever. And that would make sense as a respectful way for an Onen to eat. I saw that people don't seem to be machmen on this nowadays. When I see Onanim, they sit at a table to eat. Not sure why. I saw about in this new sefer that they've been sending around, Sukkim based on Russia Weiss, he says, maybe that's only if you're having like a fancy, proper, full meal with all the courses. It's called Mesav at a table. But if you're just having a quick something, then not. But okay, so the Maisa, I don't know why people aren't machmen on this. But l'chora, an onen should not sit at a chair at a table like a regular person because he should be acting super duper distraught. The other iser is basar v'yayin. Right, an onen is usar and basar v'yayin, and avel is takamutar and basar v'yayin. As a matter of fact, the Gemara says that davka I don't think we do this nowadays, but dafka, it's good for the ugel to drink a little wine. It'll help him cope a little. Although I haven't seen that be the minhag nowadays. Not halacha, just an observation in the days of the Gemara. He can't have a basar v'yayin. Exactly what are some of the details of basar v'yayin? So in the Pesachei Tshuva, in Zekut and Yud Beis, he discusses the same achlokas we have in Hilchas Tisha B'Av, rather more specifically the 9 days. How about leftovers from Shabbos, their heter? Lamaisa, we don't practice this, we don't hold from this heter in the 9 days. We don't hold from this heter here. It's a strange heter, especially here. Let somebody else eat the Shabbos leftovers. The thing that might be mutter, is mutter rather, Pesachei Tshuva, Zekut and Gimel, quotes from the No de Bihuda, who says he's allowed to have gravy or something like that. And Rabbi Kiva Eger here has a discussion of, from the Mari Alpandri, how about Tavshil Basar, meaning the chulent without the meat? Or how about Chamer Bedina? The simple pshat is most Achronim seem to assume that the Isser is only the Basar Yayin itself. The fleshic food without the meat would be mutter, and the chamer medina would be mutter, obviously not to get drunk. So that's the isser of basar v'yayin. There's another isser which is very peculiar, because if you look in my Shulchan Aruch, I don't know what everyone's Shulchan Aruch looks like, but in my Shulchan Aruch I have this kind of Shulchan Aruch. I don't know if anyone else has that. On the bottom, it has something called Otzer Mefarshim, which collects like the Achronim, which are written in small fonts in random places on the edge of the page in the old-fashioned Shulchan Aruch. I have something called the Haggah. Doesn't even say exactly what that means. And in this Haggah, he quotes, and in this Haggah, he quotes that b'maseches machos isa gamkein ve'inu ochel kol tzarko v'shalmi perikimol debrachos perikimol ekatni isa v'lo ochel tzarko lo shoshe kol tzarko. He shouldn't eat a full ochel kol tzarko, shoshe kol tzarko, right? He shouldn't eat a full meal. He shouldn't eat till he's full, which again is the practice of someone who's distraught. If someone's really distraught, they just eat a little. They don't have yishuv das to really eat till they are full. And the Gesher HaChaim writes that it's a little strange. This is not found in the Shulchan Aruch or in the classic Nosei Kelim. However, it's a Mefurshu Shalom and Mefurshu Seches Machos found in a few Rishonim. L'chora, we still hold from it. So we're going to put this on the list of Ochel Kol Tzarko, meaning an One should really have restrictions in the way he eats, both qualitatively and quantitatively. If you allow me to skip a moment, if you allow me to skip a little, if you look at Sif Hey for a moment, says the Mechaber, calls Manchlo Nikbar Mesein Cholot Minol Vasanav and Yichai Batim Zarosh Ufias Hamita, Aval Aser Leishev Olishan Al Gabi Mita Afilu Kfuya. It is Aser for the Onen to sit or lie down, mean to sleep, on a bed, even if it is overturned. In the old days, they used to flip their beds over. Nowadays, not practice so much, so our beds are different. You know, I think some of our beds are still flippable. But Lamaisa, we don't do that. But the Avel is not allowed to sit on a regular chair, but it's allowed to sit on a flipped over chair or on a flipped over bed. The Onen is not allowed to sit or sleep on any type of bed, only stand or on the floor. This is another mysterious kind of thing. It is a mefurish Maseches Machos that he has to sleep on the ground and sit on the ground, etc. By the way, just to make sure everyone's on board, sometimes they quote a sefer called Maseches Machos. Sometimes they quote a sefer called Avel Rabasi. Those are the same sefer. It is in what's called the Masechtos Ketanos, which are not actual Masechtos. They're found in your standard Shas after Nezikin, which I guess would be after Avos or something. Avos Rabbi Nassim is the first of them, and then there's all these little ones. Some are very little, and some are a little longer. Basically, there's only two of them that anyone ever really bases halachos on, which are Masechet, because a lot of them are agata or are super-duper short. The two of them that are of decent length and halachic are Masechet Sofrim, has a lot of halachos about Sifrei Torah and laning, etc., which and davening, which Tosfos quotes all the time, and a lot of Minhagim, Ashkenazim, and even Sfardim also are based on, and Maseches, what's called in my Maseches Smachos, but also can be called smachos is obviously a euphemism. Avil Rabasi here says in mine, you can't read it here, but it says Avil Rabasi and Nikra Masechas Smachos. Okay, lucky for me. Anyway, just to keep in mind, those are the same book. What are the Masechtos Katanos? Or the Masechtos Katanos are, they're not real Masechtos. They're not even all brisos from the time of the Tanaim, but they are sort of Masechtos that were collected later somehow. I don't think we're exactly sure by whom, in the style of on the style of brisos. And they're not considered, you know, how they're considered authoritative when they're quoted by the Rishonim. They're definitely not as authoritative as the Bavli. Anyway, so it says in Masechta Smachos and Lechora that is a and it's quoted in the Rishonim and it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. It seems to be a Pashat Halacha. So it's Asur Leishev O Lishan Al Gabe Mita, etc. It doesn't mean dafka bed. It means anything. He has to stand or sit or sleep on the floor. I saw in the Sefer, Gesher Hachayim, and in the if anyone remembers the Badei Shulchan, here, and a whole bunch of Achronim all say something very mysterious. Here, all the Achronim I've seen say, nowadays we're no way to be makel about this, they're not sure why. It's a little funny, nowadays you seem to be makel. I mean, no one's makel nowadays about Basar V'Yayin, but people are makel about this. Noah Gim L'Hakel, no one's exactly sure why, but like all the Svarim say, the Minig is L'Hakel, the Minig is L'Hakel. Okay, maybe Masechta Soferim is consistent in Hagim, and if the Minig changed, it changed. Maybe you have to say that Masechta Soferim was not saying it's an absolute Takana D'Rabbanan, just that to kind of follow the minhag the Rabbanan led us to follow. Lemaisa, I guess if they're noag in lahakel to sit or sleep on a bed or to sit on chairs, then I understand why people are noag lahakel not to recline, but at least to sit on chairs at a table against the Rishonim Shadim Mesiv. So I don't know. In these, all the Gedolei Poskim say Noag and Lahakel. Every Sefer I've seen nowadays says Noag and Lahakel about Leishev, Elishan, Al-Gabi Mita. They don't say Noag and Lahakel about the other things, but it seems clear that Noag and Lahakel about sitting on chairs also, right? Noagim, I don't love it, because one should be distraught. Shulchan. Not reclining, but who reclines anyway nowadays? Anyway, so it seems that for some reason people are making a lot of it easy serve nowadays, except for Basar V'Yayin, and no one really talks about Achilu Kol Tzarko. I see everyone be making anyway. So it's a big tzarek Ion. Why are there Noeg and Lahakel so much in all these Yisurim of Aninas? Big tzarek Ion. Lemaisa, since all the Sfarim say Noeg and Lahakel by this one, I guess one could follow that Noeg Lahakel. This one I wouldn't object to people follow being Mekel, but I wouldn't necessarily approve of being Mekel. And Achilu Pnei Meis Basar V'Yayin, I think there are, people are not Noeg Lahakel at all. Ochel Kol Tzarko, I don't know, people don't usually think about it. I don't know, people say it's good, both Alpi Musar and Alpi Medicine, to always not be Ochel Kol Tzarko. It's probably a good life advice. Okay, so those are some of the less famous Isurim of an Onein. Let's go back to where we left off in Sef Aleph and go to the more famous Isurim of an Onein. What is the most famous Isur of an Onein? Okay, what are the more famous Yisurim of an Onein? The more famous Yisurim of an Onein are from Mitzvos. That is the Mishnah in the beginning of the third parak of Maseches Brachos. Let's go to the back to the Shulchan Aruch. The Einam Varech Be'Yavshah Motzi, again, it's starting in the context of meals, but it's not, that's just because it happened to tie in as a segue to what we said until now. It's not substantively connected dafka to meals. Not only does he actively say brachos, you don't even say brachos to be motzi him. That's from baruch love. He doesn't even count for a zimun. The achronim write also, we'll see a little later that from the Ramah, that he doesn't count towards a midian. He doesn't even say amen. And he's potter from all the mitzvos in the Torah. This is l'chora, some sort of application of osik b'mitzvah, potter min ha-mitzvah. We'll see a little more details in a moment. Did someone say something?
Ready? Question? Yeah, question? It's Liad. Shouldn't the distinction between Enam Mavarech and Mizamian versus Pater Makom Mitzvah Torah, isn't that sort of mashma that he's Pater from Mitzvah, he can choose to do them, but it's Bracha specifically that it's Aser to do? Especially because later on the Mechaber specifically singles out Bracha is something that he can't do.
That is a fascinating diuk. I haven't seen anyone make that diuk, which doesn't prove that no one ever has. And I can understand the svar for the diuk, right? Because Dafka, you know,
exactly,
you can the Arich state. I hear that the diuk, I haven't seen this in any halachic sources, even though it's an intriguing svar. So I'll have to just leave it at that. Vafilamein etzorach lasa b'tzorkei ha-meitzvah sheyesh la'achirim she'oskim b'shvilo, right? Even if there's other people taking care of the mace, so he's not mamish busy with the mace. Nonetheless, he's still potter from all the mitzvos in the Torah. V'yesh omrim she'afilam yirtza l'hachmar l'atzmo l'vorech olanos amein achar ha-mevorechim eino rashai. And yesh omrim here, the Beis Yosef makes the yukim and all the Rishonim. It's more famous as a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, that Rashi thinks that one is potter for mitzvos, but the onen can do the mitzvos if he wants to. And Tosfos says, no, that he is usher to do mitzvos. And those are the two deos in the Shulchan Aruch. L'chor, the first day is just that he's potter. The second day is that he is absolutely forbidden. V'ayin ba'orachayim siman ayin aleph. If you look in orachayim siman ayin aleph, it's a little controversial there also, but if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, by the way, a lot of the dini aninus in terms of mitzvos, not the other things, but in terms of mitzvos, are found in, wherever I put my Mishnah Berurah, Pelek Aleph, are found in the Orachayim Siman Ayin Aleph. And you look in the Mishnah Berurah there, he says very, very clearly, and everyone knows this, that our minug and our hafkra is like this Yesh Omrim in the Shulchan Aruch, that it is usher for an onen to do any mitzvos. That is usher for an onen to do mitzvos. Why is it usher for an onen to do mitzvos? So we say it's a din of kavod ames. It's a din midrabanan mishum kavod ames, right? Yesh koch v'yad chacham and lakar dover min haTorah b'shev yaltasa midrabanan mishum kavod ames. It is usher for an onen to do mitzvos. Okay, that's familiar to all of us. Hopefully we won't be owning him for a very long time. Maybe never. But the we're familiar with being around people and the manner of life that an onen is, even if he wants to do mitzvos, is still is still usher to do mitzvos. Interestingly, in the Pesachei Tshuvas of Katan Yud Tes, he talks about a case where an onen accidentally made havdalah after Shabbos because he didn't know the halacha. Question is, should he make havdalah again or not? And then he says, if b'di'evet, the onen did the mitzvah, then he shouldn't do it again. That's because b'di'evet, if the onen did a mitzvah, we say, well, according to Rashi, he was allowed to do the mitzvah, so maybe he was yotzei. Therefore, b'di'evet, if he did the mitzvah, he doesn't have to do it again. However, l'chadchila, our minhag is like Tosos, like the Yesh Omrim here, that an onen is absolutely forbidden to do mitzvahs. Why is it so forbidden for an onen to do mitzvahs is not 100% clear. It could be an expansion of osek mitzvah, pater min mitzvah, just that the Rabbanan said, well, we want to make sure that he has time to deal with everything he needs to deal with the mace and that nothing gets delayed. And it's very important to bury quickly and to give proper cover to the mace. We don't want him to cut corners. And therefore, just as a low plug, he shouldn't do any mitzvahs just to make sure he has enough time to deal with the mace. So you could view it very practically. You could also view it not practically, but more psychologically, that's been covered a mace. It is covered a mace that when a person is worrying about his relative dies, then he doesn't get distracted by other things. He just, not practically, still have time to do things, but just psychologically. So he can focus on the mace and not to remove his focus on the mace. That's covered a mace, that a person should only be concerned for the mace in their head. They shouldn't be distracted by doing other things. The Rav famously took this psychological derech one step further and made it philosophical, existential, if you wish, kidarko ba kodesh. He based himself on the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi has a drasha that you do the mitzvos, kol yamishatem chayim. Mitzvos are at times when you're dealing with life, and velo b'zman shato osik b'misa, not at times that one deals with death. And the Rav understood that, and here, this Rav, you have to say over very subtly so that people don't get the wrong impression. It's not that the Rav thought that, you know, at times when one faces death, one doesn't care about Hashem Yisbarach anymore, and one stops being religious, Chas V'Shalom. That was not his point at all. Obviously, that wouldn't make any sense. Kshem Shem Varchan Ala Tova, Kach Varchan Al Hara'a. Rather, what the Rav understood is that doing mitzvos is, for the Rav, you have to understand, for the Rav, doing mitzvos is not just, sort of, there's a big king out there called God, and he's the Melech HaMlochim, and he'll shmeis me if I don't listen, so I have to believe him and do what he says. But doing mitzvos is all about wanting to accomplish something spiritual with my life. For the Rav, the whole point of doing mitzvos is, obviously, the Rav doesn't deny that, that we should all remember that we're commanded to do mitzvos, etc., and we have to do them whether we like it or not, and there's such things as charva onish, etc. The Rav's not denying, you know, third grade musser. Everyone needs that sometimes. But the Rav is saying that what mitzvos are really about is a spiritual ambition to create and to grow and to become and, like, to transcend. Mitzvos, a person doing mitzvos is really, it's an asek of doing amazing spirit, accomplishing amazing spiritual accomplishments with one's life. The Rav says, and this is a theme in the Rav, I'm sure some of us are familiar with, the whole issue of facing mortality, that ultimately, when one is face to face with death, and what is face to face with death? Someone always died somewhere in the world. Unfortunately, right now, a lot of people died, in a lot of places in the world. And unfortunately, right now, a lot of those people died in a place in the world that, you know, many of us actually grew up in, New York. But nonetheless, that's not called facing death. That's the derech of that's the minhag ha'olam, is that we know people die. Statistically, X number of people die every day, you know, whether it's coronavirus or something else, you know, if you put yourself in existential dread every time someone died somewhere in the world statistically, then there'd be no room left in life. However, when someone is meso muta lefanav, they're responsible and they're connected in a very intimate, deep way with this mace, and this mace is like taking up their attention, then the Rav says that one really has to acknowledge one is faced with death, one is faced with mortality. You really, to take this seriously, it means acknowledging that anyone could die any minute. No one knows what tomorrow will bring. You don't necessarily, you can't plan what you're going to do tomorrow and the next day, and you don't know what you're accomplishing in life because life is so fragile and can end at any moment. And for the Rav, taking death seriously means sort of taking a step back from all the things that constitute the point of life. And for the Rav, mitzvahs are the point of life. Making money's not the point of life. Growing in Ruchni is the point of life. And therefore, the Rav made this a little more existential based on this Yerushalmi that mitzvahs are for a time of chayim and not for a time of maves. Mitzvahs are basically life. And when one is facing death, one has to sort of, not chas v'shalom, lose faith in Hashem. That's the, I've seen some Amorazim try to turn the Rav into that accidentally and then end up saying stupid things. No, one has to lose faith in life when really taking death seriously. And losing faith in life means not doing mitzvos, means mufka from mitzvos, because mitzvos are the main thing we want to accomplish in life. So for the Rav, it was a very deep existential kind of thing that also fits the idea of covet a mace, that that all the Rishonim quote from the Yerushalmi. What is covet a mace? It's covet a mace to take this mace so seriously that it makes you give up on life. And the way you express giving up on life, if you are from Yid, is by being mufka from mitzvos. Obviously, it's a kind of drabbanon. Okay, lamaisa we have, you know, the Yerushalmi says it could be Amy Shemaso. One second, it could be you just need someone to do the burden, the practical way. They potted you from all mitzvos or even asked you in mitzvos to make sure that you'd be able to do the burden. It could be more fundamentally covered on mace, just psychologically, they cleared your head. Chazal cleared your head psychologically, so that you only focus on the mace and not on other things. And for the Rav, he takes that, just makes it a little more existential, and said, it's not just focusing on the mace, it's taking the mace so seriously that since this mace lost his life, you give up your faith in life, and you give up on life, and giving up on life, for the, again, for some people, giving up on life means not eating and not drinking. There's a little of that, but you're still supposed to eat and drink. I don't know, for some people, it means killing themselves. Obviously, that's not appropriate. For the Rav, giving up on life means being mufka from mitzvos. Okay, but in any case, halacha l'maisa, one is also to do mitzvos. One is also to do mitzvos during the time of Aninos. Yes, Shai.
Where is that piece in the Rav?
Anyone want to help out with a quote here? With a Mar Malcolm? I don't remember, so Bli Neder, I will let you know.
It's okay. Probably somewhere in the whirlwind or whatever that one is. You know, the one.
Okay. I'm sure we could find it if we spend 5 minutes looking, but I don't want to do that right now. Okay, now I want to get into some nitty-gritty halachic details. So let's get into some nitty-gritty halachic details. The very, very important distinction is in the Pesachei Tshuva, Sif Katan, Zayin says in the Yatzadavar Pashut, says, Ayin B'Tshuva Schachem Tzvi, etc. Okay, sometimes Pesachei Tshuva says, Ayin B'Tshuva someone or other, and it's an obscure opinion that maybe anyone did or didn't ever paskin like. Sometimes he says, I am a tshuva, whatever, and it's the most pashut thing in the world. He just quotes it from one particular tshuva. This is the most pashut thing in the world. He just happens to quote it from one particular tshuva who said it black and white. The document says, say, potter of old mitzvahs lo sase, chayev kishar anoshim. Pashut that an onen is only potter from mitzvahs say. However, he's not allowed to violate lavim. No one thinks. I don't know, I once met someone who said they were an onen, they didn't have eruk, they were potter from mitzvahs. I guess it's a good thing that the Pesachei Tshuva quoted this from the Chacham Tzvi, because I guess it wasn't obvious to everyone. I had to figure out a way nicely to tell that person that he was, you know, how wrong he was. Obviously, an onen is not allowed to do averos, just that he's potter from mitzvos, he's very passive. And then, of course, you can imagine, here, you know, you want, everyone has their sort of lumdish toolbox. We're not going to go through all of Shas. You can go through all of Shas, and a couple dozen times make the chakira, is this an avera or is this a mitzvah? And what's the nafkamina? The classic litmus test nafkamina is always, how about an onen? Right? For example, you know, you're starting the sixth parak of brachos, and you say, well, is it a mitzvah to say a bracha before you eat, or is it an avera to eat without a bracha? Nafkamina, what about an onen? Because he's not allowed to do averos, but he doesn't do mitzvos. And there actually is a shita that an onen makes a bracha before he eats. I know that's against the Shulchan Aruch, but it's machlokas and interpret the Gemara. Lemaisa, we paskin that an onen doesn't make a bracha before he eats, which seems to imply, although in a moment we'll see it's not so pashut, that making a bracha before you eat is a mitzvah and not an aveira. But in any case, you get a lot of lumdus as to what's a mitzvah, what's an aveira, and B, what exactly is, how exactly do we draw the line? So number one, if we look at the continuation of Sukkot and Zayin, he quotes the Prima Gadim, he says, what about Tashbisus or Mbatechem and Balura Bal Yi Matze? How about owning chametz? Does he have to destroy his chametz? Right? So he says, he thinks maybe Einu Muzralav and the Chomus Shlai is Maskalov, etc. It's an interesting question. You know, you get the lumdus. Is Tashbisu an Isser, right? Famous lumdus. Oh, next year, I think, while you're scheduled to learn that lumdus, is Tashbisu an Isser, right? Look in Ravisra Zalman's footnotes on the Ramban in the beginning of Sachin. But is Tashbisu an Isser? Is Tashbisu a mitzvah? L'chor bal yorah bal yimotzi, that was an Isser. So one issue that he's bringing up here is it that he, you know, what if there's an Isser that you do passively, like bal yorah bal yimotzi? Is he allowed to do an Isser passively? right? If he doesn't burn his chametz, then he does the iser b'al yibalei. Let's say that's the machlokes in the prima gadim, the chometz Yerushalayim. Lemaisa, we assume like the chometz Yerushalayim, not like the prima gadim. He's not allowed to do any iser, even passively. He's not allowed to do any iser. He's not allowed to violate b'al yimatzei. Tor from mitzvos. Here we have pater in mitzvos versus usher in mitzvos. We paskin, he's usher in mitzvos, but b'di eved, if he does a mitzvah, I mentioned to you, he's yotze, because we can b'di eved rely on the day that he, at least if it's a bracha, and we don't want to say it for no reason, that he was only pater. He's chayav in lavim. In lavim, if it's passive, then that's a machlok between the prima gadim versus the chomos Yerushalayim, who I'm not sure who he is, and we paskin like the chomos Yerushalayim. And then you get into, a few other interesting questions here. For example, what about Netilas Yadayim? Fascinating lumdus, right? Does he wash before he eats? Is it a mitzvah to wash, or is it an iser to eat with unwashed hands, with tamei hands? So that's a nice chakira in Sivkat and Dalet, but we have a psak. Sivkat and Dalet, he quotes a Chamudi Daniel, and all the Achronim agree that he washes without a bracha. Because we assume it's usher to eat without washing. So Netilas Yadayim, we assume, is an iser. Making a bracha is only an al Netilas Yadayim is a mitzvah, but he has to wash because we assume that's an iser. You could have gone both ways in the lumbus. But, you know, if you think of it, but lechora, that's how we paskin. Another interesting question of what about bedikas chametz? So, Simchat and Vav, they deal with bedikas chametz. They deal with bedikas chametz. And is it a mitzvah to do bedikas chametz? Or is it an iser to own chametz? Okay, what do we paskin? It's an iser to own chametz. But it's a mitzvah to do bedikas chametz, so he can't do bedikas chametz, but he has to not own chametz. What should he do? Someone else should do bedikas chametz for him. Okay, then there's a whole discussion. Does he have to be makdis chametz to the other person for the other person to say a bracha, or can the other person just be a shliach and say a bracha? Lamai says probably better to be makdis chametz to the other person, but when push comes to shove, the Gesher HaChaim writes that the other person can say a bracha even if he's just a shliach. So that's just some of the details. What about Netilas Yadayim? What about bedikas chametz? And we say someone else should do bedikas chametz as the compromise, and he should do netilas yadayim, but not say a bracha, because netilas yadayim is an iser. Okay, there's lots of things not on the page. We don't have to get into that now. Yes,
he can make a shliach do a mitzvah that he can't do.
It's a fascinating question. It sounds to the poskim like yes, Taka. Even though maybe that's another reason why it's better to do it behakna, right?
Right, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, that's a good ha'ara. I hadn't thought about that. You have to get into the question of what does it mean? You can't make shliach do something you can't do. You can't do or right. You can't do. You know what I mean? Meaning you don't have the power to do or you don't have the heter to do. Okay, but that's already too far afield. Let's just mention one or two other details here. And then that'll be enough summarizing what's on the page. The Noda Yehuda quoted in Pesach Chuba Dalet deals with what about Sfiras Omer? What's the problem? If he counts, then he'll be doing a mitzvah when he's an Onay. But if he doesn't count, then he'll lose his bracha afterwards. And he'll even be in Vatal Mitzvah when he's not an Onay. It's interesting. I don't know. I might have said, like, who cares? You know, so he'll count without a bracha. But in any case, Noda Yehuda has this kula, maybe also because Sfiras HaOmer is very short. He can count without a bracha, and that way he can make a bracha the next night. Okay, that's a kula. The lum is the kula. Again, the thing with onen is, I mean, it's not geschmack to think about people dying, but it's very geschmack onen because it ties into all kinds of lumdus, and you could easily spend a year on all the lumdus that ties indirectly into the dinim of an onen. You know, what is this heter to count one night without a bracha and then continue to count with the bracha? You could say, to get out of a suffix later, we're makel for him to do one quick mitzvah in a very minimal fashion. Or you could say, based on the Rav's lumdus, he's not doing a mitzvah. He's counting, but not intending to do the mitzvah. And nonetheless, he can continue to count with the bracha because you don't need to do the mitzvah 49 times in order to continue to count with the bracha. You just need to have your count still going, which is a subtle lumdus, but that also explains, you know, why the kid who becomes bar mitzvah during Sfirah Omer continue to count with the bracha, etc. It's not that you need to do the mitzvah all 49 times to count with the bracha like everyone else thinks, the sheet of the Bahag, but it's just that it only called counting if you're keeping up your count. Otherwise, it's just called making up numbers. So maybe he doesn't do the mitzvah. He just keeps up his count, and then that's enough to make the bracha later, but hey, that's Sfirah Omer lumdus. Okay, appropriate time of the year, Sfirah Omer lumdus. But, you know, only a half appropriate setting. In any case, that's one kula. Another kula they bring here is, what if he's in the middle of Shema or davening and his relative died? So they say, if you need him to take care of the relative, interrupt his davening right away. But if there's nothing for him to do now, meaning if it's mamish, he needs to be osake in the mace, if bizoyin amace, he needs to be osake, then interrupt him. What if it's just this psychological covenant amace? Then they say, you know what he doesn't know won't hurt him. Don't tell him until he finishes davening. You know, you don't want to interrupt the mitzvah in the middle, and therefore they're mako that, you don't, if he finds out, he has to interrupt. But you don't have to interrupt him in the middle if he doesn't really have anything that he needs to do now. Okay, so that's a second kula. Those are all in Sivkat and Vav. And as a matter of fact, in Sivkat and Ches. Sorry, I mixed up two Sivkat and, I apologize. In Sivkat and Vav, the Shos Yaakov says he can finish even if he finds out. So the Tekunah Drabbanah is just not the start of mitzvah, but you're allowed to finish. And Zavkat and Ches, he says, even if he hasn't davened yet, if he's about to daven, you don't have to tell him until after davening, because you can let him cop another tefillah if nothing important is happening, and it's not a lack of kavod ames if he doesn't know. So I combined two things that I shouldn't have. So here are just some kulas. Kulas, sfira, without a bracha, to finish what he's in the middle of, to not tell if he's about to daven and he's not in a rush. And one last kula, Pesachei Teshuvos of Katan, test is this very fascinating thing. What if he has to say Kaddish for a parent? What if it's his parent's yard site? Right? So let's say his sister died and it's his mother's yard site or his father's yard site, etc. There it's a funny thing because, like, out of Kavanah Mace for the mace that died now, he shouldn't go to shul and say Kaddish. But Kaddish is also Kavanah Mace. For the mace that died a year ago, or 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, etc. Big, big, big machlokes. Lemaisa, many poskim are makel here, even though he quotes someone who left it, but he, the Pesachim himself, leaves Sarach Ion. Lemaisa, many are makel that when it's a yard side and it's a big covet for a different mace, so it could be that a covet a mace beats, or at least cancels out a covet a mace, and there's room to be makel. Okay, let us leave this now. And, right. Yes, talk, please.
How far would we establish, like, how much does someone need to know? Like, if they know someone's dying close to it, they're pretty sure. Like, I mean, Rebbe said if they're about to start davening, and, you know, like, I guess my question is, how close of a line is it, do you know? Like, should you be machmir in case, or?
No, until they know, they don't know. There's Cheskas Chaim. No, I don't think there's an inyan to
right.
I don't think there's an inyan to be machmir just because you think someone might have died. No, I wouldn't go that far.
Could you avoid finding out? Like, tell someone if you heard the news, don't tell me. Davin or whatever.
I mean, I don't know. I don't think in a way that would be considered like. I don't think that in a way that would be considered a bizoyin amace. That seems like a lack of covenant amace to tell someone, oh, don't tell me that my, if my relative dies. That seems like a bizoyin amace. I wouldn't go that far. Okay. Now, continuing in the Shulchan Aruch, says the Shulchan Aruch, Ubishabbos v'yomtiv. How about Shabbos and Yomtiv? Shabbos and Yomtiv is considered a meso mutal lefanav. Why is Shabbos and Yomtiv considered a meso mutal lefanav is a very fascinating issue. Right, there is a rush in the Beis Yosef, etc., who says that the Yerushalmi says, here's Shabbos. Oh, sorry, I don't know what just happened. Shabbos and Yontif. There's no Aninus. Why? So the Yerushalmi says, it's practical. practically because you can't bury on Shabbos and Yontif, meaning meso mutal funav means you have to deal with, you have to take care of the mace. I understand it becomes psychological, philosophical, what have you, but it all starts with the getter meso mutal funav. What is mutal funav? Mutal funav doesn't literally mean in front of you. The Shulchan Aruch already said it could be in a different city. Mutal funav means achrayus is mutal on you. That if someone's responsible for burying their dead, then that's meso mutal lefunav. Now, on Shabbos and Yontif, you can't bury. It's Lamentes Malacha to bury. One of the Lamentes Malachas to bury. Not only that, you can't do any of the things. You can't bury, you can't hire people to work, you can't sow tachrichin, you can't, all the things you're not allowed to do in Shabbos and Yontif, and therefore it's not called meso mutal lefunav. That's the Rishalmi. What's an afternoon in Yerushalmi? If you can take care of things on Shabbos, like the example in the Yerushalmi was, lahachshech al tchum, we know there's a halacha, throwing a little hook of Shabbos, you're not allowed to walk past tchum Shabbos. Okay, once upon a time, you should just know, al yetzei ish min komo, b'yom haShabbos was an important part of a yid's experience of Shabbos. The experience of Shabbos meant staying close to home. You couldn't walk more than 10, 15 minutes on Shabbos. However, the geder of makom is defined by how far you go outside of your city. Nowadays, that most Orthodox Jews live in very large cities, so Tchum Shabbos is not so much a part of our experience because you can walk as far as you want within your city. You just can't walk 10 minutes outside your city, and no one ever walks outside the city anyway nowadays. And okay, so somehow, like, but the feeling we have that part of what makes Shabbos Shabbos is that you don't drive. Once upon a time, that feeling was part of what makes Shabbos Shabbos, that you don't go any place more than 10 minutes walk from your house. In any case, that's Tchum Shabbos. I remember once when I was an NCSY advisor, there were everyone in NCSY, their hearts were totally in the right place. Not all of them knew so much Torah. Okay, Binyamin's thinking that I was with his father and there were quite a lot of people who knew a lot of Torah in those days. True, but they're also, not everyone knew so much Torah. I remember once, it was like Simchas Torah Shabbaton. There was some guy, some advisor who, he got stuck in traffic and Yontif started, Shmini Atzeres started, so he just left his car on the side of a random highway someplace and who knows where, and walked like the next, like all of Shmini Atzeres to get to the Simchaton. And when he came, he got such a hero's welcome and everyone danced for him and Ke'ilu Rol Yashiv walked in because of Mesiras Nefesh and not driving on Shabbos, which, you know, was a good example for all the NCS wires, I admit. But I just couldn't help sitting there the whole time thinking to myself, guy violated Tchum Shabbos a gazillion times. You know, he's Machal, I mean, Tchum Yontif, but the halachas of Tchum apply to Yontif also. You know, he's Machal Yontif like 100 times over, even while walking. But, you know, part of, I think part of Chachma is knowing the truth, and another part of Chachma is knowing when to say the truth and when not to say the truth, and the answer is very clear in that particular circumstance. So let's move back to Hilchos Avelos. What if someone did a big rush to go someplace on Matzei Shabbos, right? They want to go to the movies on Matzei Shabbos. They want to make a movie that starts right after Shabbos in the next town. Obviously, a Shuli Rand movie. So can they walk up to the Tchum, wait for three stars to come out, and then keep walking? The answer is no. It's an Isser Rabbanu L'Hachshech Al HaTchum. You can't walk up to the Tchum. That's considered like Hachan on Shabbos for before Shabbos. But for a mitzvah, you can. So if I need to go do an important mitzvah, then I can walk on Shabbos, get to the Tchum, look for three stars and keep going. And a mitzvah is obviously burying a mace. So let's say someone needs to go buy a coffin, aron, or tachrichin, or something else for the mace, and he needs to go buy it, and the shop is open Matzei Shabbos, and he's in a big rush. So he goes to be machshech al tchum, right? He leaves his house, you know, 15 minutes, 20 minutes before Shabbos ends to get to the tchum and wait there for three stars, and then keep going. Now he has a hechitim to being osek in the mace on Shabbos. One is also in the Mason Shabbos now. It's very rare to have such a Heki Timtzi. But this is the Heki Timtzi. And therefore, during the time he's Machshech al Tchum, and if he lives in a big city, it could be an hour and a half he could walk to city limits, right? Like nowadays. In that case, then it's called Mason Mutal Funav, and he has Aninos. That's what the Yerushalmi says. The Bavli doesn't say this. Question is, does the Bavli argue on the Yerushalmi? Or does the Bavli not argue on the Yerushalmi? So the Rosh quotes Yesh Omer, it's Taka the Smag, one of the Achronim quotes it. The Smag says, no, Bavli, Lefi Smag, he says no. It's just a, one second. It's fundamental. It's not practical. Chazal, we're mitaken aninos on Yom Chol and not aninos in Shabbos and Yontif. Okay, maybe that's because generally you can't bury in Shabbos and Yontif, and you throw in covet of Shabbos and Yontif, and the Shabbos and Yontif are happy days, etc. So they just decided fundamentally there's no aninos in Shabbos and Yontif. That's, he says that, because the Bavli never says the Rishalmi. What does the Rush say back to him? The Rush says, just because the Bavli doesn't say the Rishalmi doesn't mean it doesn't agree. The Bavli wasn't getting into that level of detail, but according to the Rush, the Bavli agrees to the Yerushalmi. No, they agree it's practical. Just because the Bavli didn't say anything doesn't mean it disagrees. And we paskin like the Rush that the Bavli used to Yerushalmi. Fundamentally, Shabbos and Yontif could have aninos. It's just that generally they're not days of Mutal Afanav. They're not days of Asik and Amais. But if you have an exceptional case, by the way, the Rush agrees that the default rule of Shabbos and Yontif is not aninos. Default on Chol, it is aninos. It's Mutal Afanav until proven otherwise. On Shabbos and Yontif, it's Eino Mutal Afanav until proven otherwise. But if the guy's Mamish has his Askos in the Mace on Shabbos and Yontif, then there would be aninos. And that's exactly how we paskin here. Let's read in the Shulchan Aruch. Shabbos and Yontif, Ochol Basar, Shos Yayin, Im Yirtza. Shabbos and Yontif, he can eat meat and drink wine if he wants. Okay, if he wants, the Achronim explain means because you never have to have wine and meat on Shabbos. It's just like a mitzvah and mufkar owning Shabbos, but you don't have to. And therefore, some of the Achronim explained that on Yontif, maybe you do have to because of Simchas Yontif. But okay, that's all the Rambam meant by Im Yirtza is that on Shabbos, let's say someone doesn't like beef and they don't like wine. So they have other things. You know, I don't know. Let's say someone only likes vegetables and they only like Coca-Cola. So they have that on Shabbos instead. Okay, Mevarech and Ivchayv Chol Mitzvah, Schutz and Tashra Mita, Shasabro. He's Mevarech and he has to do all the mitzvahs in the Torah except for Tashra Mita. There's a bit of Machloks Tanam where there's Tashra Shamita on Shabbos and there's a Machloks Rishonim and we paskin no Tashra Shamita on Shabbos. There's another Machloks Rishonim where it means not Chayiv in Tashra Shamita or Usher in Tashra Shamita. Rav Yah thinks there's no Isser and Tashra Mita, just a tour on Shabbos. But we paskin not like that. We paskin like Rov Rishonim that there's an Isser of Tashra Shamita. Why is there an Isser of Tashra Mita? Because an Onen should be so distraught that he doesn't get distracted by Tashra Shamita. And Tashra Mita, even on Shabbos, is Asher. Even though none of the other rules of Aninus apply on Shabbos, since Tashra Shamita is super Dvarim Shabbatzina, therefore it applies even on Shabbos, and also the Achronim say because it's like considered disrespectful doing Mishamish Mitasa when Meso is Mutal Afanav, so even on Shabbos, it's considered extra disrespectful. Umoto Leoch Mesa Knes Mishabbos, and it's Mutter to go to Shul on Shabbos. Why? Because he's Chayim Mitzos. But after Chol, it's a Rekme Afshashul Palma Yasha, even on Chol, he's allowed to walk into Shul just since again, Davin, there's nothing for him to do there. The Achronim, by the way, are Medayik here. If you look in the Pesach Tshuva, so cutting your Dalid, they're Medayik from here, and Onin doesn't count for a minion. Because otherwise, on Chol, he'd have something to do, sit there and be mashal in the minion. Okay, so we're dying from here, and Onen doesn't count towards the minion. In any case, on Shabbos, he goes to Shul. Agav, there's another machlokas that comes into play here, which is on Shabbos, he goes to Shul. So hold on Shabbos, he goes to Shul, does he say Kaddish? I don't mean if he's saying Kaddish for someone else. You know, if his brother died, and 6 months later his sister died, and he's an owning for his sister on Shabbos, he goes to Shul and says Kaddish for his brother, Avada, he's chayiv all the mitzvahs on Shabbos. But does he say Kaddish for the mace who just died on Shabbos? What's the, this is a big machlokas. This is quoted in the Pesachei Tshuvos of Katan Yud Dalet. Famous machlokas Shachan Taz. The Shachan Taz appear a little later. He quotes here a machlokas in the Shachan Taz from Shin Ayin Vav. But let's just chazer the machlokas. What's the machlokas? Meila, this is a side point. It's not Dine Aninos. It's just Dine Kaddish. An One is clearly on Shabbos. He can do all the mitzvahs. Clearly can say Kaddish. But is there Toelis to Kaddish before Kvura? On the one hand, you say you want to bring his chos to the Niftar. So there's Toelis to Kaddish before Kvura. Let's say his mother died. And she died half an hour before Shabbos. So he's an Onain, and then Shabbos comes, and then he's not an Onain anymore, and he goes to Shul, on the one hand, maybe there's a to'elis say Kaddish for his mother. On the other hand, no. The to'elis is only after Kvura. Gehenim only starts after Kvura. And the to'elis, to get there out of Gehenim, if she's in Gehenim, and Gehenim only starts after Kvura. So that's a machlokas in metaphysics. Does Kaddish help the mace? Obviously, if Kaddish helps the mace, he should do it. He's chayiv in all mitzvos. Does Kaddish help the mace before Kvura? Or does Kaddish only help the mace after Kvura? So that's my closing, the Taz and the Shach and the Nekudas HaKesef. There, the Shach says there's no Gehenim till after Kvura. Therefore, there's no Toilus in Kaddish, so there's no point saying Kaddish. The Taz and all the other Achronim quoted here, he quotes a whole list of Achronim who are, who does he quote here? Shar Ephraim, Nachla Shiva, Shvos Yaakov, who think that's true, even though they're not sure what the minig is. Lemaisa, the Taz and many Achronim hold is a Toilus to Kaddish right away. Okay, maybe they are in Gehenna, maybe they're not, but it's always good to have to start using Zechuyos. Maybe they won't go to Gehenna because they have Zechuyos. And the Shach says there's no Toilus to Kaddish yet. Halach Lemaisa, what's the minig? The Geshur Chaim writes that minig Yerushalayim, and I think this is the minig many other. It depends on the minig, there's no right answer. But the Geshur Chaim writes minig Yerushalayim, and I know that's the minig in Eretz Yisrael. I've seen it done many times, and I think that's the minig in Chutz Laretz now also. Again, every rabbi should keep their local minig. It's not a question that's been absolutely poskened. But the mainstream minhag is, like the minig Eretz Yisrael, like the Taz and the other Achronim, to say Kaddish. This happens all the time. I mean, people die right before Shabbos, right? And then the relatives are owning them, and then on Shabbos they're allowed to go to Shul and Daven. And the minhag in Eretz Yisrael, and I think in most places, that they do say Kaddish, there's Toilus to Kaddish as soon as their parent died, even if their parent hasn't been buried yet. It's always good to have some extra Zechuyos. Okay, so that is a bit of a side point.
Now, Rabbi?
Yes. Someone wants to say something?
Okay. Yeah, why then wouldn't we say that even when they aren't owning, they could say it? Meaning, if that's for the mace, meaning it's right. Covered on mace to say it. Why would it be any different?
Right, so it's actually fascinating that that in Israel, they actually do. I don't know if you ever noticed in Israel. I'm pretty sure that in America, it's been a long time since I was at a funeral in America, but I'm pretty sure in America, the Avelim say the first Kaddish after the burial. In Eretz Yisrael, they say the first Kaddish after the Hespedim before they leave the base Hespedim on the way to the burial. And then they say a few Kaddishes while they're walking to the burial. So in Eretz Yisrael, they actually do say Kaddish for burial in all cases, even though they're an Onei. Like Mamash at the funeral, they say Kaddish for the burial, which I don't think they do in America. And the Svar would be Shai Svar, even though they're Pater for all mitzvahs, but this is a specific way to help the mace and Mechab in the mace. So of course they're Chayiv. They're Chayiv in the mitzvah of Chavad Mace. So why don't they always go to Shul? So I think here it would just be a practical thing. That Mela, it's not so necessary. Everyone agrees it's not so necessary to say Kaddish for the mace before burial. You know, it just can't hurt. It's a nice, helpful thing, but it's not a necessary thing. So since it's not a necessary thing, and it certainly could looks like a distraction because davening, etc. So I think that it's just some sort of judgment call. Since it's not necessary for Kavod HaMace, then they don't have to do it. But on Shabbos, they're in shul anyway, even if it's necessary. It can't hurt for the Kavod HaMace or for the Menuchas HaMace, so they do it. But in a chanami, if there would be a case there's a minig to say Kaddish on a weekday before burial, they would, which is exactly minig Eretz Yisrael. If you ever go to a funeral, they say three or four Kaddishes before the burial. But on a regular also, time, yeah.
Would there be any difference in these dinim if you're an Oni because someone died on Erev Shabbos versus if they died actually on Shabbos? Or
no,
either way?
No, there would not. There would not. Okay. Continuing. V'im tzorech le'hachshik al hatchum. Again, if the guy has to be mashkel atchum, as I said, then aninus is chal on him as soon as he needs to start walking, or many minutes before Shabbos ends, to be mashkel atchum. How about yontif? So we know the halachas are, this is a bit airy that we're learning this right now, because I'm going to have to say something a little different than I said 2 years ago. The Gemara in Beis said very explicitly that on yontif rishon, you can bury al yidei goyim. You can do amir l'achim. You can bury al yidei goyim if you want. Why if you want? Because it's considered a bigger kavod to have Jews do the burial. So therefore, the relatives can use their judgment call if they think it would be a better move to wait and have Jews do it tomorrow or to have goyim do it today. But on yontif, there's a heter of burial yidei amir l'achim. On yontif sheni, we go even more so. There's even a yontif sheni of Shoshana. There's a heter even al yidei Yisrael. Even al yidei Yisrael, there's a heter on yontif sheni. Because since Yantav Sheni is only Gzeira Drabanan nowadays, it's not a real suffix, as we know. It's only Gzeira Drabanan, and even though we take that Gzeira Drabanan very seriously. However, Chazal built in one or two Aterim, and the main one is for a mace that it's mutter to Mibachal Yantav Sheni for the sake of a mace. Nowadays, there are most people, nowadays, the Minhag, I mean, you can understand why the minhag might have changed in the modern era. Once upon a time, if you left the mace and didn't bury the mace, the body would rot. It would be a tremendous nivola mace. It was tremendous time pressure. Nowadays, we have refrigerated morgues. So even though we have sort of this halachic hashkafic pressure, it's not really the same. You're not mamish going to see the body decompose and start falling apart in front of you. So therefore, nowadays, we're not as much in a rush on yontifs as they were in the old days. In America nowadays, and there's a lot of Yantav Sheni, some of the Hasidim, like Satmar, still bury Yantav Sheni, because they like to do things the old-fashioned way, the way they did it in Europe. The Yekkas used to bury Yantav Sheni, but there are no real Yekkas left in America. Meaning, there are still many real Yekkas left davening in Washington, the other side of Washington Heights, but all their kids, who, when they reach Meiv Esrim, will be in charge, are regular Lakewood Yeshivish guys. So there are no... You know, there's never going to be a Yekka who has to bury his parent anymore in America. But the Satmar's still burying Yantav Sheni. However, the mainstream minhag, and Rav Moshe was manning this, Rav Moshe came to America, he saw that Shmir Shabbos and Yantav was very shvach in America, and he said, what do you mean? You can have all the ultra-Orthodox Jews being mechalel Shabbos and Yantav and expect this to work? He says, for sure, you make a funeral in Yantav Sheni, all the conservative reform, and in those days, even the Orthodox relatives, will drive to the funeral on Shabbos, which is not part of the Heter. The Heter is only to drive the body to the cemetery, not to drive everyone and to drive enough people to the cemetery who are needed to dig, not to drive crowds. And in general, it'll be Machlish, Shmir Shabbos, and Yantav, and therefore, the mainstream minhag in America is not to bury Yantav Sheni. Interestingly, that was true until this Pesach. On this Pesach, because unfortunately of the current situation, and as we know, New York is the death rate from coronavirus in New York is 50 times what it is in Eretz Yisrael, is more than twice as bad as the worst country in the entire world, and unfortunately. Not only is New York and New Jersey not far behind, Mir Shem should have, everyone should have a Yeshua very soon. But as of today, it's very, very bad statistically, but it's disproportionately the Orthodox Jews who are dying, unfortunately. We should have a Yeshua soon. Hashem should have Rachman. Unfortunately, New York. So this Pesach is oy vavoy in terms of the Magefa, unfortunately. And I was told that this Pesach in America, the Chevra Kadisha is now working 24/6. Not the same people, but the shifts are 24/6 and everyone's doing double, triple shifts. And they buried all Yantav Sheni as well because they're just such a backlog that they're afraid that, you know, they're not going to be able to bury the mace if they don't work 24/6. And when it was Yantav weeks, they worked 24/5, which means they took off for Yantav Rishon and took off for Shabbos, but even buried on Yantav Sheni. So this year we went back to the old minhag of burying in Yantav Sheni. Of course, this year was strange in other ways because the relatives often didn't participate much in the burial and didn't have anything to do with it. It was all like, no one could leave their house, etc. But in general, let's say, hopefully by Shavuos time, things will return back to normal. Now, Shavuos time, Yantav Sheni is Shabbos, so it doesn't make a difference. By, you know, Rosh Hashanah, Sukkot time, when things, Mirat Hashem, return to normal, then they won't bury any more in Yantav Sheni in New York. Because it won't be so necessary. But let's look at the Shulchan Aruch. Says the Shulchan Aruch, "Vimrotu l'kavra b'yantav rishon l'yamim," because that's an option. Since it's a little bit evet to use goyim, therefore it's an option for the family to choose what's more of a kavod. But if they choose the option of mir l'akam aser b'kulan, then all the isur manina supply. The kolshkan b'yantav sheni shuba'atu yachal l'kavra shachol of kolina nias and kolshkan b'yantav sheni all the dinim of nina supply, because even Jews could marry. The Mishnah Brura says. in Hilchas Yontif that whether or not they want to bury Yontif Sheni, since they could, all the dinim of Aninus apply, but nowadays that is not our minhag, because Mishabura days, most people buried on Yontif Sheni. If one family decided for some reason to wait till Isru Chag, they were still owning him on Yontif Sheni. Nowadays, in America, it's a really a minhag established by the Gedolei Hador not to bury Yontif Sheni, at least in normal years. And therefore, we consider, nowadays in America, we consider Yontif Sheni against the Shulchan Aruch, a day which is not Shaykh for burial. And there would be no Aninus on Yontif Sheni against the Shulchan Aruch, because in America they have a different meaning nowadays. But if someone lived in a community, let's say they lived in Kiryas Yoel, where they did bury Yontif Sheni, then whether or not they themselves were going to bury that day, they would be owning him, because it's a day when it's Mutal Lefanav. Okay, that is Shabbos Yontif. There's a big machlokas here. Sorry, give me half a second. There's a big machlokas here between the Shach and the Taz. It all starts with a drisha. The Shach before that quotes the Maharil, and who's explained by the drisha. What about nighttime of Yontif Sheni? Since we don't bury at nighttime, the drisha says nighttime of Yontif Sheni, they're not an onin, they can make kiddush. Simchas Torah night or any other night, there's no aninus on nighttime of Yontif Sheni, and the Taz agrees and the Shach disagrees. The Shach says nope, all of Yontif Sheni is, you know, whether they bury during the day or night, all of Yontif Sheni is a day when it's considered mutal lefanav. Okay, there's many other details about this in the Pesach Tshuva here and in the Mishnah Berurah. In Hilchos Yontif, but Halacha L'maaseh, nowadays we don't need to get into this machlokas, because nowadays we treat Yontif Sheni the same as Yontif Rishon, generally. Yoni, you have to unmute yourself.
Is the Shach and Taz telling the Smag and the Rush? It's practical for now.
So it's like this. The Drisha quotes from the Maharil, quoting the Maharash, that the Maharash says there's no aninus. Here was the Maharash, who says Yekadesh Bilel Simchas Torah. What's the machlokes? The Shach says that the Maharash Savar Kehasmag Bilel Kaimalon Kach. The Shach says, the Maharash must hold like the Smag, that you're not an Onan during the night or the day, that you're never an Onan in Shabbos and Yontif, but we don't hold that way. However, the Drisha, why did that just disappear? The Drisha and the Taz says, no, Afilu, according to the Rush, even according to the Rush says, be practical. Practically, they only buried in the day of Yontif Sheni, not in the night of Yontif Sheni. On a weekday, even though they don't bury at night, you can prepare coffins at night, and you can do this. There are a lot of things to do at night, but in Yontif Sheni, the way they're made to work, they can do anything at night. And therefore, practically, it just depends if it's the time of Hisaskos or not Hisaskos, and we paskin, even though it doesn't really come up nowadays, we paskin like the Drisha and the Taz. Therefore, the Mishnah Berurah even goes so far as to say he can even daven Shachris and Musaf on Yontif Sheni in Poland, because in Poland the Chevra Kadisha wouldn't bury till after Shul. There's nothing to do till after Musaf. Okay, so on Yontif Sheni, even though we say that there is Aninos in Yontif Sheni, it depends. Again, according to the Shach, there's always Aninos in Yontif Sheni. It's like a Yom Chol, right? This may, okay, if you want to say Lundus in this Machlokes Shach and Taz, it may be a lumdus about the nature of the Tekun of Yontif Sheni. The Shach says, Chazal Mertaken, that Yontif Sheni is Hutra, is like a Yom Chol. There's no Yontif Lagabi Mace. While the Drisha Taz say, more of a Dechuya, no. It's still a day which is Mufga from burial. It's just there's a Heter. And the Shach would arrive at Chul Shavi Rabbanan. So it might be, you know, sort of lumdus how Hutra or Dechuya is the Heter of bury a Mace on Yontif Sheni. Even though, again, then the Shach would have the upper hand, because the Lashon Gemara sounds more Hutra, and we don't, paskin like him. Or it could be that even if it's Hutra in terms of bearing a mace, you know, it's, the Shach would say, the fact that it's Hutra in terms of bearing a mace, even though you can't do anything now, makes you an onen. And the Taz would say, even if it's chutra in terms of bearing a mace, since right now there's nothing you can do for reasons of the nature of the day, even though those reasons are more technical, then you're still not an onen. Anyway, halach l'maisa, we pass like the Druze and the Taz, but again, it doesn't come up nowadays, because nowadays the standard minhag olam, I think even nowadays, when they bury the mace on Yom Tov Sheni nowadays, they usually, the relatives are not involved at all. It was, I mean, it's a pachat situation. The relative can't leave home. No one can leave home. They bury without telling anyone. Not without telling anyone, but like without fanfare. So, I don't know exactly whether the relatives are owning Yom Tov Sheni or not. Maybe each situation was different, but okay, that's enough for now. There's also a big discussion in Pesachei Shuvos of cutting Yud Aleph. What about an owning on Purim? Purim is actually a funny thing because it's there's a din of Mishnah of a Simcha, which is from Divrei Kabbalah, which means Divrei Nevi'im, not mysticism. In this context, is that Dochan Ninus? Is it not Dochan Ninus? The Mishnah Berurah discusses it in. The Pesachei Tshuva quotes Achronim here. The Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Purim discussed it. I mean, there's a Sif Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Purim about this. I think the accepted psak is that Purim is Docha Aninos, interestingly. Which is the big chiddush, because you're allowed to do Malach and Berry on Purim, so why should Purim be Docha Aninos? Okay, that's a big Purim lumdus. Maybe person made Nisa special, etc. We're not going to go into it now. We'll leave that for Hilchas Purim. Okay, one last thing in Sif Aleph. Yesh Omer Talmud Rabba Muvuk Asur Lechol Basar V'Yayin Kol Zman Shemuta Lefneihem. There's a small amount of Aninos on Rabba Muvuk. Not all the Din of Aninos, but as Basar V'Yayin, the Esrim Basar V'Yayin applies even to Rabba Muvuk. So if someone's Rabbi Muvuk passed away after their Meiva Esrim, then until the burial, they should not eat meat or drink wine. That's Halacha L'Maisa. Agav, one other thing that I want to just point out, side point, which was in the first Pesachei Tshuva, he brought a big machlokes about what about lo aleinu, a baby less than 30 days old. We know for a baby less than 30 days old, it's called Suffolk Nafel. We're not sure if he was a proper person who was born and is considered halakhically alive and then died, or he was never alive, because a baby that's born prematurely and not viable is never considered to have been alive. And it's a suffix whether he was really a person or not. And therefore, there's no avelos. Is there aninos on a tinok within 30 days? After all, maybe suffix aninos, we have to be machmir. Even though suffix avelos, we are makel. Big machlok is basically Tshuva quotes. The mainstream minhag is that there's no aninos on a suffix nafel, a baby that's suffix premature, suffix not premature, suffix viable, suffix not viable. Okay, the Gesher Chaim says the mainstream minhag is that there's just like there's no avelos on a baby less than 30 years old, there's no aninos, especially since these dinam aninos are really takana drabanan. They were only mitakin in case where there's avelos, and here there's no avelos. That's meduyik of the machaber, who says meshu chayiv les abelolov, and it's not a meshu chayiv les abelolov. So halach lemaisa, we assume for a lo aleinu case like that, that we do not practice aninos. The avo would be chayiv, the father and mother, etc., would be chayiv in all the mitzvos. They want to not drink meat and drink, not eat meat and drink wine. That's a good chumrah. But basically, possibly there's no aninos. Okay. Continuing to Se'if Beis. Se'if Beis, yes. Okay, Se'if Beis. Misha Meis L'Meis B'Shabbos. Yochal B'Motzei Shabbos. Below Havdalah. Someone whose relative died on Shabbos is allowed to eat Motzei Shabbos without Havdalah. From here we see it's not an Isser to eat without Havdalah Motzei Shabbos, just a mitzvah to say Havdalah. And then once you have the mitzvah, you're not supposed to eat before the mitzvah, but it's the Ikar of mitzvah. The Lo is Palo, and he shouldn't have Marv Lo B'Boker Kunin Kfura, and he shouldn't, he's talking about a place where they don't bury at night, not like Eretz Yisrael. And he shouldn't daven Shachar in the morning before Kfura. Achar Kfura is Palo, Tfilah Shachar in the Lover's Man, and after Kfura, he can still daven Shachar if it's still time. Aval tefilas ha'erev lo yispala shifar avar zman av lo damer l'shachlo spal arvish v'spal shachar shtayim kemen shavalai lo yechayav lehispalel. Okay, here is the principle. The principle is that, how about making up mitzvos? Right, all of a sudden there's burial. Now what does the onen do? After the burial, all of a sudden he's chayiv in all the mitzvos. So is he chayiv retroactively for all the mitzvos he missed? So here we say it depends. What about after the kfura? If it's still the zman hamitzvah, then obvious, this is like the rapush to all of us, then obviously it's chayiv. Right, if he buries at 10 o'clock in the morning and it's still time to daven shachris, obviously it's chayiv to daven shachris. What if over zman hamitzvah? Then he is potter from tashlumin. Even most mitzvahs don't have tashlumin, but let's say it's a mitzvah tashlumin. He's potter from tashlumin of the mitzvah. Why? If it was shogeg, anus, etc., then the guy has to make up one tefillah. We know the din of tashlumin. But here he was potter milachachila. If he's potter milachachila, there's no tashlumin. Tashlumin is for someone who's chayav, but shogeg or anus. But someone who is potter has no chiyuv tashlumin. This is a principle all over Shas and every mesechet of Shas, that if someone was potter in the first place, they have no chiyuv tashlumin. Only someone was chayiv, but there were circumstances beyond his control or within his control, and he didn't do it, then he's chayiv in tashlumin. That is a dover pasha. There's one important proviso that the Dogomer Vava points out here. This Dogomer Vava is found in, it's quoted in Pesach Tshuva in Sifkatan something. Sifkatan Yud Ches, he quotes a bunch of Achronim, including the Dogomer Vava, is also on the page. This case is, when does he not have to make up Mariv? The mace died on Shabbos. And he was potter for the entire time of Mariv. The Chiyuv of Mariv is from nightfall to dawn. From nightfall to dawn, he was potter. What if the mace died at 10 o'clock at night? He just hadn't gotten around to Mariv yet, right? On a regular weeknight. You know, it's Sunday, it's 9 o'clock at night, and the mace dies. Now he can't have Mariv, and he buries the next morning. So he buries the next morning, he daven shachris, does he have to do tashlumin for Mariv? So says the Dogomer Vava and many achronim quoting Pesach, yes. Why? Because he was not potter the whole time of Mariv. He was only potter from 9 p.m. and on. Until 9 p.m., he was chayiv in Mariv. He just didn't know his relative would die, so he was in no rush. Right? So then, basically in this case, he wasn't potter the whole time of Mariv. He was potter for this part of the night, but for the other night, he was onus. Why was he onus? Because he didn't know he was in a rush, and he didn't daven, and then a ptur came on him. So if mace lo mace. The emtsa. Then he's chayiv in tashlumin. Why? He's not chayiv in tashlumin for not because he didn't daven from 9 p.m. and on. Then he was potter. He's chayiv in tashlumin because he didn't daven from 7:45 until 9 o'clock. Because then he was chayiv and he could have davened. He just didn't know he would be in a rush. And therefore, he's chayiv tashlumin for not davening before the mace died. Okay, that is, quoted in the Pesach Tshuver from Bunch of Achronim, that's the halacha l'maisa. This actually is a cheshbon that has to be used when someone has a shayla about this. You know, they they wake up in the morning and before they go to shachris, find out their relative died. So they are chayiv tashlumin of shachris because they could have davened before they found out, before their relative died, or and their relative died, let's say, because they could have davened before their relative died. Or lechor before their relative died. So, lemaisa, if someone's relative died in the middle of the time, it's filo lechayim tashlumin. Okay, now, here's where you get tons of other lumdas. This sif is also a litmus test sif. Yes, Binyamin?
Sorry, just to clarify, what I think this is what Revi was going back and forth with, just like, unspoken, but that if you only found out later, even though technically they could have davened, but Lama Freya turns out they shouldn't have davened.
Yeah, then I think there's no Teshlumen. I think that's Meduyuk in the Lashon of the Poskim, that there's no Teshlumen in that case. That is exactly what I'm
saying. They could have davened. Right,
okay. Yeah, that's what I think. I think there's that. Then there'd be no tashlumin. Okay. Now, where do you get all the lumdas here? Is what's tashlumin and what's the ikersman? Right. So this is the famous machlokas between the Rush and his Rebbe, the Marami Rittenberg, about Havdalah. What about Havdalah? Let's say the mace died on Shabbos, and they didn't bury until Sunday or Monday or Tuesday or whatever it is. So he was putter during the time of Havdalah. But what do we say? Do we say the time of Havdalah is Matzah Shabbos, he was putter, and there's no tashlumin? Or do we say no, the time of Havdalah is the first half of the week, from Matzah Shabbos till Tuesday night. And therefore, he was not putter during the time of Havdalah. He was chayiv during the time of Havdalah, because after burial is still the time of Havdalah. Meaning, when we say if you're not Mavdal Matzah Shabbos, you're going to be Mavdal all Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, is that part of the Ikersman, just the lack of Zrizos? Or is that Tashlumen and not the Ikersman? The Nafkamina would be the owning. So this is a famous machlokes. The Maharam, the Maharami Rittenberg says the Ikersman is till Tuesday night. And there, and the Rush says no, the Ikersman is only Matzah Shabbos, the rest is Tashlumen. And we pass like the Maharami Rittenberg, therefore the Shulchan Aruch ends. That Ulitnin Abdullah Yabdil Akhrashi cover a mace. Even if the burial is only Sunday, he still says Havdalah after the burial because the Ikersman of Abdullah extends for 72 hours and it's not Tashlumin. Okay, that's how we paskin. It's machlokas, that's how we paskin. There's lots of other machlokos in the Pesach Tshuva and the Achronim spread out all over Shulchan Aruch or Chayim. About different things. What's the Ikersman and what is Tashlumin? Let's just give a few examples. Asher Yotzar says the Pesach Tshuva a little earlier in Se'if, even before that, Se'if Beis, Birkas HaMazon, right? What if he eats and then buries the mace and he's still full? Do we say it's the Ikersman of Birkas HaMazon as long as he's full? Or no, the Ikersman is when he finishes eating. It's only Tashlumin as long as he's full. Nafkamina is, does he have to bench? And they should basically chew a quotes from a few Achronim that he does have to bench because the Ikersman is not the moment he finishes eating. The Ikersman is as long as he's full. Another question, Asher Yatzar. Let's say he went to the bathroom and he doesn't have to go again and it's after the burial. Do we say the Ikersman is right after he goes to the bathroom? Now it's only Tashlumin? And therefore he doesn't have to say Asher Yatzar? No, the Ikersman is as long as he still feels relieved. And therefore he still has to say Asher Yatzar. And here he quotes, even by benching, he quotes someone who says, well, better eat a little more and get out of the suffix. But Asher Yatzar, he says you have to make Asher Yatzar afterwards. Because apparently the Ikersman is as long as you're still feeling relieved. This is a big machlokes. The Gesher Chaim quotes, did I write down who it was? Quotes in the Birka Yosef, the Chidon, the Shulchan Aruch here, that you shouldn't say Asher Yatzar because Asher Yatzar afterwards is only Tashlumin. I think the minhag is not to say Asher Yatzar, Safik Brachos LaHakel, and to assume that it's only Tashlumin. Yes, Binyamin.
After what?
But what I mean is the guy went to the bathroom and then he buried his relative. And he still doesn't have to go.
No, right,
so he had to go again. What?
I'm saying, according to those who think it's Tashlumin, when does Tashlumin start? Like immediately after you leave the bathroom? Like what?
I guess that's the question. What is Tokhti Dibur? Is it? It's a good question. I'm not sure. I hear your Taina. You're supporting the Pesach Tshuva here, quoting the.
And the same thing with benching. Like how long? Like who benches? Like. Right. 1 second after the.
All right, you have a good point. I don't know. Okay, maybe we should pass that way. The guy should still say Asher Yatzar. However, says the Gesher Chaim, Asher Yatzar is chem bedin, he definitely doesn't say. That's the brach on seeing a cemetery, because that you're supposed to say as soon as you see the cemetery without any delay, and it's only Tashlumin to say it later. And I guess my answer to Binyamin here would be right away. How about all the various parts of davening? So the Pesach Tshuva deals with this, and there's a long Mishnah Berurah about this in Siman Ayin Aleph Sifkat and Dalet, and there's a long Pesach Tshuva about this here in Sifkat and Yud Zayin. It's a pretty long one. What about all the different parts of davening? So, for example, Kriya Shema, there's nothing to talk about. If it's within Zman Kriya Shema, it's within Zman Kriya Shema, and afterwards, there's no Tashlum in anyway. Right? But how about Birkas HaShachar? When is the Zman of Birkas HaShachar? Is the Zman of Birkas HaShachar all day? Is the Zman of Birkas HaShachar only when you wake up and it's Tashlumin all day? Is the Zman of Birkas HaShachar till noon? Is the Zman of Birkas HaShachar till 4 hours, 3 hours, whatever it might be? Very unclear. The Mishnah Berurah paskins that the Iker Zman of Birkas HaShachar is till 4 hours. And until then, he should still say it. After 4 hours, it's only Tashlumin, and therefore he shouldn't say it anymore. Except for Shalosh Ani Goy, Shalosh Ani Ovid, Shalosh Ani Isha, where the Iker Zman is all day, because it has nothing to do with the morning, as opposed to other things which have to do with the morning, like getting dressed and walking and etc. So the Mishnah Berurah makes that hachra. He says, what about the bracha of Mekadosh Shmo V'Rabim? Well, that's only during Zman Kriyat Shema Likuva, so there's no Inyan Tashlumin anyway. And the Achronim also write that this is a big machlokes, but at least we are machmir that it could be that Zachir Tzitz Mitzrayim. Remember in the Haggadah, right? Laman discourse Yom Tzitz Chamei Yosayim Kol Yimei Chayecha. Everyone, Ben Zoma and the Chacham agree at least during the day. So apparently, it's against the Lumbus, the Rav, the Shulam Zoya Zechor and Morizal. Zachir Tzitz Mitzrayim, the Ikrisman is all day, and therefore the person still say the third paragraph of Kriya Shema, even if they don't have to say the first two anymore. Okay, those are just some of the things that come up for after burial when the person needs to know cheshbon. What is it still the Zman? What is it not the Zman? Right? Again, things that it's still the Zman, he has to say after burial. Things that it's not the Zman, even if there's a possibility of Tashlum, and he doesn't have to be Mashlum after burial. And that's, hopefully, we remember the list that we just mentioned. Okay. That's in terms of Tashlumin. There's another very famous machloksin, the Taz and the Shachir, the Shachir, the Kudus HaKesef. What if a guy was Osek B'mitzvah and missed out on davening? Right? The guy was Osek B'mitzvah and missed out on davening. Like he was Osek B'tzarchit Tzibur, he was doing Shtadlonis in the government to help his fellow Jews. If he was Osek B'mitzvah the whole mincha, he had an appointment with a government official at noon and it went till dark and he missed mincha because he was Osek B'tzarchit Tzibur. He's Osek B'mitzvah. Does he have to do Tashlumin or not? The Taz says, of course he has to do Tashlumin. He was Chayiv in Mincha. He's not an Onein. He was Chayiv in Mincha. He was just Onos by the Mitzvah. And the Shach says, that's ridiculous. He does not have to do Tashlumin. Osig Mitzvah is Potter Min a Mitzvah. Apparently, the Shach and Taz have a very deep machlokas here about the lumdus of Osig Mitzvah, Potter Min a Mitzvah. The Taz assumes that Osig Mitzvah, Potter Min a Mitzvah is not like Onein. An onen is a ptur. Osig mitzvah is just an onus. What it means is that since you're onus with one mitzvah, it's not your problem if you didn't do another mitzvah. But since you're chayiv but onus, you have to do tashlumin. And the Shach says, no, osig mitzvah is pater min a mitzvah. It's not onus. Osig mitzvah is taka pater legamre. And if he's taka pater legamre, then there's no tashlumin. We pass like the Shach that osig mitzvah is pater legamre min a mitzvah. It's not just onus. It's not like osig mitzvah, well, you're onus by one mitzvah, and so that's a good excuse for not doing the other. No, Osig Mitzvah is potter from one mitzvah. If you're doing one mitzvah, Hashem potters you from doing another mitzvah at the same time. And therefore, there'd be no Tashlumin. Okay, nothing to do with Aninus, but a very famous, probably the most famous thing in this simon is that Shach and Taz. Okay, Steif Gimel. Okay, hopefully we didn't miss anything. Okay, there's a whole discussion in the Taz, a little in the Taz and the Misri Tshuva. What if there's a Mila? Do you do Mila before burial? Do you do Mila after burial? The advantage of doing Mila before burial is that you're supposed to have special reasons for Mila. The advantage of doing Mila after burial is that then the father can say Lachniso, and the father can say the bracha of Lachniso if you do it before burial. Okay, Lemaisa, nowadays, I don't know what the minig is. I don't know if I've ever had a case where someone like was burying their mace and they had to do a bris milah for their son the same day. So I've never actually seen this. I've never actually seen this happen. So I don't know. I don't know what the minig is, but the Taz says that if you can do the burial very early, do the burial before the milah. But if the burial is going to be later in the day, then you should still have zrizos and do the milah early. Okay. I don't know what the minhag is nowadays. The maisa to machlokas. You know, I bet most rabbis would let the people do whatever they want and then work it out. Sif Gimel. Makom Shenagu. Shekatofen yuchadim lotzas lehotzi ameis la'achshin es asko akrovim tzorchei kvurim shabru lahem v'hem yikvuru kama. If there's a place where it's called a chever kadisha, right? Special people who not everyone buries their own mace on their own. Like once upon a time, there's a special chever kadisha who take care of everything. You just call the chever kadisha, give them over the body, and they take care of everything. Like nowadays, the chever kadisha takes care of everything. Once they hand it over the chever kadisha, it's called ein meso mutal lefanav. It's called eino mutal lefanav anymore. Now the mace is not mutal lefanav. They've done their obligation. They've been yotzei their chiyav of kfuras hameis, even though there's no kfur yet. They've been yotzei their chiyav because they did everything they needed to do, and they took care of everything 100%. Once they were yotzei their chiyav, then they're not onim anymore, they're mutar basar yayin, they're obviously chayven mitzvos, etc., etc., even if the mace is still at home. But if the mace is at home and the chever kadisha are in the room, and the chever kadisha say, we'll take care of everything from now on, then they're not onim anymore. Okay, how does this play out nowadays? Nowadays, everyone calls the chever kadisha. Nowadays, when someone dies, everyone knows. When someone's relative dies, the first thing they do is call the chever kadisha right away. So, does that mean no one's an onay nowadays? One second, sorry. Does that mean there's no such thing as an onay nowadays? So, if you look in the Pesachei Tshuvas of Katan Chaf Aleph, he quotes a big machlokas between the Nod Bihuda and the Chachmas Adam. Ada Yom Hazeh, it's a big machlokas in Sfarim, although I've only seen one minhag in practice. The Nod Bihuda says, no, you have to make an okimta in this sif. This means if they give the body over, this was told me at a place where they had a weird minhag. There was a special chever kadisha. They gave the body the chever kadisha and then did nothing. They gave the body the chever kadisha and then were not involved anymore. The chever kadisha took and buried on their own. That would be like nowadays in the time of coronavirus. In some place in New York, people can't leave their house. They're this, they're that. All you do is call the chever kadisha. And the chever kadisha says, we're really sorry. I mean, mamish, this is what happens nowadays. Again, I can't paskin for all of New York. I'm sure different places, maybe it works out differently practically, but a lot of cases I've heard from New York nowadays, you call people call the chever kadisha and say, unfortunately, my relative died of coronavirus. Chever kadisha says, okay, well, you can't leave your house. No one else can leave their house. This can't. In the cemetery, no one's allowed in anyway, etc. So we'll just take care of everything. And they don't even have like a funeral broadcast over the internet, like, you know, in normal times, if there's relatives in Eretz Yisrael, they often broadcast. No, they don't do that nowadays because they don't have a funeral. The Chevrachi says, we'll do a quiet burial with all the proper coven in the right place, with all the proper minhagim, at least as much as we can, all the minhagim we can, but no one's involved with anything. Says the Nod Yehuda, that's what this Shulchan Aruch meant coronavirus. If they're not involved at all anymore, they will say they're chiyav, they're not owning them anymore. But in normal times nowadays, yes, the people call the Chevrachi Kadisha, but they stay involved. They don't physically treat the body, but they stay involved. They go to the funeral, they give hespedim, they listen to hespedim, they do all the tefillos at the funeral, they walk to the grave, they shovel a little, and even if they don't, they go to the funeral. So says the Nod Yehuda, this Shulchan Aruch means if they're not going to the funeral. But if they're going to the funeral, that's a different story. Then of course they're still owning him, because they're not done yet, they still have to go to the funeral. I understand the Chevrachi Kadisha is doing the hard work, but they're still involved. The Chachmas Adam, he quotes, disagree. Tremendous machlokas, the nafkamina for everyone nowadays. What about in normal non-corona times, if you call the chevra, someone called the chevra kadisha? The Chachmas Adam says, that's a Shulchan Aruch, no more aninos. Go daven. And the Nod Yehuda says, no, that's not the Shulchan Aruch. They're still anina on him because they still have to go to the funeral. So, that is a big machlokas. Let's just point out, what are cases where? Sorry. Let's just point out, what are some cases where this Shulchan Aruch would definitely apply? It would definitely apply. I'll give you two examples where it would definitely apply. One, coronavirus, right? You call the Chevra Kadisha, someone calls the Chevra Kadisha, and they're not involved anymore. That's the Shulchan Aruch. Two, a case would be Kvura even in normal times, the Eretz Yisrael could be lavdav Eretz Yisrael. Maybe someone wants to be buried in California. But the Avilim say that here's a chevra kadisha. We hired you to go bury a relative in Eretz Yisrael. You go bury in Eretz Yisrael, but we're not involved anymore. We're going to JFK. We're going to say goodbye at the hangar of wherever they load the cargo in the airport, and then we're done. Then the chevra kadisha takes over from them. Then the aninus ends. The aninus ends, their talk of the avilus also starts in that case. The aninus ends because they've handed over the chevra kadisha and they're not involved anymore. Okay, but what about the normal case? The normal case, if they're going to the funeral, right? What about the normal case? What does normal case mean? Chevra kadisha, but the krovim go to the levaya. So here's where the Chachmas Adam says there's no aninus, and Sif Gimel applies, because they've now handed over to the Chevra Kadisha. And the Noda Behuda says, nope, there is still aninus, because since they're going to Levaya, they're not done yet, and they've handed over partial responsibility to the Chevra Kadisha, but not full responsibility. What is the minig nowadays? I saw a couple modern-day Sfarim says, well, the minigs like the Noda Yehuda, but they should still like make sure to chop davening and kriyashmar or something, like in case the Chacham's Adam is correct. And if they want to do mitzvahs, they can do mitzvahs. But from what I've seen, the minig olam b'foal is like the Noda Yehuda against the Chacham's Adam. That even when people call the Chevra Kadisha, they still keep full aninos until they go to the funeral, if they are planning to go to the funeral. That's the minig olam. Some Sfarim want to say some compromise. Well, do mitzvahs that are, the time's going to run out, you know. But I think the Minhag Olam is like the Noda Yehuda, that the people keep full aninus until after the funeral. Okay. Yes, Shai.
In Rebbe's example of bringing to the airport, what about if they're like going to be at the Levaya online or on FaceTime or whatever?
So it's a good question. As you can imagine, the poskim haven't dealt with that so much because these are relatively new technologies. It's a good question. I'm very misopic about some of these things, but lemaisa, it seems that even if they're going, you know, what if they're getting maspid even over the internet, right? Lemaisa, it seems to me that I think the minigo olam is, and I think it makes sense. It's very subtle. Lemaisa, the minig is that when they say goodbye at the airport, they still stop aninus and start avelus. In this case of the Sif Gimel, they don't start avelus; they just stop aninus. But in the case of the airport, they even start avelus. I think that's still the minig, even though they can listen in Eretz Yisrael over the internet. I think that's still the minig, and I think there's some logic to it because lemaisa, you know, they're not really responsible anymore. They're too far away. It's hard to call it muta lafana when you're listening on the internet.
So how does that
subtle getter?
How does that play into the Shulchan Aruch earlier that said afu bir acheres?
Give me a second, okay? Okay, let's talk for a second now about afilo bir acheres. This was the famous maisa of whom? Whose famous maisa was this? Bir acheres.
Rabbeinu Tam,
and who? What made the mace important besides being a relative of Rabbeinu Tam?
The mother of the Ri.
Correct. Rabbeinu Tam was the Ri's uncle. The two main Bali Tosfos. It was a family. Tosfos started as a family business, and Rabbeinu Tam was the Ri's uncle. Rabbeinu Tam's sister was the Ri's mother, so they didn't have the same last name. So Rabbeinu, the Ri reports that when his mother passed away, his father was still alive, and Rabbeinu Tam was in a different city, and Rabbeinu Tam said, it's not meso muta lefanav, because Rabbeinu Tam says, not meso muta lefanav, because she has a husband. It says in Maseches Ksuvos, the husband's chayiv for burying her, and the brother isn't. And therefore, it's muta lefnei the husband, not muta lefnei me, as Rabbeinu Tam, and therefore he didn't keep aninus. And the Rush says that's a terrible svara. The Rush says, it's interesting. So maybe the Shach says, how can you say such words about Rabbeinu Tam? You know, Rabbeinu Tam was not just some obscure someone. You know, you can say you disagree with Rabbeinu Tam. You can't say Rabbeinu Tam was the weakest svara you ever heard in your life. But the Rush does. The Rush says that this is the worst svara. is that not the worst year in his life, but he says a bad svaras. This is the famous machlokas. What's called, what's the geder of muta lefanav, right? That's really what we're dealing with now. We're dealing with the geder of muta lefanav. So let's take a second to talk about the geder of muta lefanav. I apologize that we're losing a few seconds every time I need to fool around with this technology. Someone younger than me should please figure out why I don't have my Zoom whiteboard. I'll ask my kids. After Shear, we'll take care of it. What's the getter of muta lefanav? It's a subtle getter muta lefanav. One question is, it muta lefanav shavshin yantif, right? Machlokas, smag, and rush. How to judge that? But what about other cases? So, masr lekatafim is not muta lefanav, but masr lekatafim and going to the funeral is the machlokas no dihuda and chakmasatim is muta lefanav. The machlokas you made in time of the rush. What about in a different city? And the Shulchan Aruch passing like the Rush, even in a different city, but the Shach quotes the Bach and says, and seemingly agrees with them, that no, in a different city is not called Mutal Lefanav. Obviously, if a different city and you're responsible, that's Mutal Lefanav, you better run to that city. He means in a different city where there are other Avelim in that city. Everyone agrees there's one city. If there are 12 relatives and one's doing all the work, if they're all in one city, it's mutal if they all of them. It doesn't matter who's doing the work with Chawal. It matters who is there and available and obligated to do the work. But if one person's in the city and one person's far away, then only the person in the city is obligated to do the work. Okay, that is Rabbeinu Tam. So Rabbeinu Tam has the Shach and the Bach on his side. The Rush has the Machaber on his side. If you look in the Achronim in Siman Ayin Aleph and the Mishmur, etc., we paskin like the Machaber and like the Rush, even in a different city, it's still called Meso Muta Lefanav. At least that's what we think so far. Then we get into the famous family funny family dynamics of, who remembers this famous story? Machlok Svein V'Netziv and Rav Rafal Shapiro. What made this interesting? Because the Netziv was Rav Rafal Shapiro's father-in-law. Meaning Rav Rafal Shapiro is married to the daughter of the Netziv. And what happened? What happened was that Netziv's daughter got a telegram that her father died in a different city and he was being buried before she had a chance to make it there. And like, you know, no involvement, just the telegram, you should know your father died. Then Netziv paskined, and he paskined this before he died. Then Netziv paskined that's exactly the machlokes in your time in the rush. If you're in a different city, it's a machlokes in your time in the rush, the Shach and the Bach hold like Rabbeinu Tam, but we paskin like the Machaber, like the Rush. Right? So here we have the Rabbeinu Tam, and here we have the Rush. Rabbeinu Tam goes to the Bach and the Shach. The Rush goes to the Mechaber, and we paskin like the Mechaber, not like the Bach and the Shach. So the Netziv says, open shut, there's Aninus. There's Aninus. Says Rav Rafal Shapiro, no, Rav Rafal Shapiro says, the case of Rabbeinu Tam, what do you mean he was in a different city? He was in a different city close by where he's still going for the Levaya. He's in a different city close by. He's in a different city, but he's still going for the Levaya. Or he could easily go for the Levaya. But if he's so far away that he's not going for the Levaya, that's not, they're basically questions, do you make an Okimta in the rush or not? Right? So says, then it's, I don't know what just happened. Svi, what just happened? I just went to my previous board. Oh, no, I didn't. Sorry. I apologize. I just lost track. Okay. Says the Netziv that this rush is across the board. In all cases. However, says Rav Rafal Shapiro, says, no, that's only if he goes to the Levaya, if he's close enough to go to the Levaya. But if you're so far away that you can't go to the Levaya, then even the Rush admits to Rabbeinu Tam that's not called Mutal Lefanav. And then it's like the case of jail that we're about to get to. And that's not called Mutal Lefanav. And this was a very poignant moment. The Revitzin Rafal Shapiro, I don't know what her first name was, but in those days she went by Revitzin Rafal Shapiro probably, got a telegram that her father passed away, and her father held that she was an Onain for her father now. and she was not shaykh to go to the Levaya. But her husband held she was not an onin for her father. So what does she do? Does she keep aninus because her father died and that was her father's shita? Or does she not keep aninus because her husband holds she's not an onin? Okay, what do you think she did? Gemara in Kikushin? What?
Then it's it. She's she has to give cover to her husband first, I think.
She has to, meaning Rafal Shapiro. Right. Once a woman gets married, she has to follow her husband and not her father anymore. And therefore, I believe the way the story goes, she followed her husband and she did not keep aninus for her father. Okay, that's the famous achlokes in the Netzivim of Rafal Shapiro. This comes up a lot nowadays, right? Someone's relative, nowadays for sure, in Corona, people can't travel anywhere. But even in normal times, you know, there's an old person. Their relative died across the Atlantic Ocean. There's an old person, Eretz Yisrael. Their relative died in America. It's not shayach for them to start flying across the Atlantic Ocean to go to the Levaya. Or someone died in Eretz Yisrael, and they're being makbid on the minhag Yerushalayim, burying him right away, and it's not shayach for the Avelim to come in from Chutz Laretz. So what do you do in that case? Then it would say, there's aninus. Wait for the phone call that you're aninus until you get a phone call. The burial happened. And Rafal Shapiro would say there's no aninus. Rav Moshe Feinstein and most poskim nowadays poskim like Rav Rafal Shapiro. And therefore, halacha lemaisa, our minhag is like Rav Rafal Shapiro. Almost all the sfarim I've seen nowadays say they like Rav Rafal Shapiro. And therefore, in such a case, if someone, it's funny, it sounds like the case of the Mechaber, but we can akim to the Mechaber. The Mechaber is in a different city, but still shaykh to come to the Levaya. But if someone is not coming to the Levaya, then that's not called Mesum Mutal Fun of, and we assume even the Rush would admit to Rabbeinu Tam, and they have no aninos. Binyamin.
Why does Rabbeinu Tam make no sense if, like the Nativ? Meaning, isn't there a Rafal Shapiro and Mukrach Lafi the way the Rush thought in Rabbeinu Tam?
I am not sure I understand what you're saying.
Meaning, doesn't it make a lot of sense to say that if it's in a different city that it's not called Mutal Afanav? Meaning either it is or isn't. I can hear my whole guess, but isn't that a reasonable, it's a perfectly reasonable
statement. Yeah, I think like so. I don't know why the Rush didn't think so.
No, I'm saying like Rav Rafal Shapiro, it makes a lot of sense.
I hear you're tying it. Like, okay, that's a good point. I'm a Kabbal. Effie.
Practically, what would happen like for the Rabbeinu Tam case or in the very faraway city? Like, you don't have Mesa Mutal Afanav and then like she's not going to be back in time for the burial, so she jumps straight to Avelis, right?
Correct. She jumps straight to Avelis. We all know someone. I don't know if and why you totally want to say the names. We all know someone. I think we all know someone who two brothers in Eretz Yisrael whose father passed away of coronavirus, and they started sitting Shiva. They didn't keep aninus. They started sitting Shiva before the burial. Once they heard in Eretz Yisrael, because it was not shayach for them to go to the burial. So that's, they would start Shiva right away. That's exactly what part of Rav Rafal Shapiro Shita. Not just that she's not an onein. That she's not an onein and she starts counting Shiva.
Right. And Rabbeinu Tam, his whole thing was that he actually had Basar V'yayin, right?
He actually had Basar V'yayin. And Rav Rafal Shapiro said, an Avel is also landed Basar V'yayin. Rav Rafal Shapiro's wife could also have Basar V'yayin. An Avel is Mutter Basar V'yayin. That's not significant. Okay, so we paskin like Rav Rafal Shapiro. Let's just continue briefly. We're running a little behind. Let's see how quickly we can cover a little ground. Hagam makam shenosin ameis me'ir le'ir. Im makam karvu have ki'ilu mutu lefanev. Volo makam rochok on mahalach shnei yamin mutter ad shiavo le'ir kivu raso. Okay, it's not exactly clear what he's talking about here. The Badei Shulchan here quotes Machlokes in the Shevet Yehuda and Rabbi Chiya Eger, not a Rabbi Chiya Eger on the page. What's the case here? The Shevet Yehuda says the case is the Avel is bringing his father's body to the place where he has to bury it. Right? The father died in Minsk and he wants to be buried in Queens and so, or in Eretz Yerushalayim. And so the Avel's like traveling with the body. And what is Ramah saying? If you're traveling with the body, if it's a short trip with the body, then even while in the middle of traveling, nothing to do, you're just sitting in your carriage or your train, or even the trains, you're sitting on a horse or whatever. If it's a short trip, it's still considered a asik of the mace. and he's still an onay. If it's a long trip, like he's on a boat and he's just twiddling his thumbs for a long time, that's mafkia, the hisaskos of the mace. And if it's 2 days or more, then he's not an onay. So what the Rambam is saying is if you're traveling with the mace, then 2 days or more is mafkia, the mutalafanav. Less than 2 days, there's mutalafanav. Nowadays, all trips are less than 2 days, so mutalafanav. Therefore, the common minhag is that if someone's traveling with the body, let's say they're taking a plane from New York to Eretz Yisrael with the body, right? Often happens in normal times, right? The guy brings his father to bury him in Eretz Yisrael, and a few family members go with the father on the plane. So if they're with the father on the plane, since the plane trip is less than 2 days, there's still an onan on the plane. That is the most common minhag. However, Rav Shlomo Zalman, I saw Rav Usher Weiss passing this way also, says, no, planes are different. Because on airplanes, there's a cargo hold and the body's not accessible to you and you're very far away from the body. It's not like a horse where, you know, the body's in the back of the horse or in a cat, you know, in a horse-drawn buggy where there's a baggage compartment. In a plane, you can't get to the cargo hold. So you're so far away from the mace that on a plane, even though it's only a short plane trip of 11 hours or 2 hours or 3 hours, whatever it may be, there's no aninus on a plane. Okay, halacha lemaisa, nowadays I've seen different rabbis passing different things. There's no standard minhag olam. Some rabbis passing like Rav Shlomo Zalman or Usher Weiss that there's no aninus on a plane because you're like mufka from the cargo hold. And Rav Ovadia and Rav Yoshev and many other rabbis paskin that no, a plane is a less than 2 day journey. So since less than 2 days, it's just toch de hisaskos. It's not a hefzik in hisaskos. Even though he twiddles his thumbs and he's not near the body, he's still an onan on the plane. I think the most common minhag nowadays is that the guy's still an onan on the plane, but there's no universal minhag. I think the most common minhag is that there's aninus on the plane, but there are people who do both ways. Some people hold aninus on the plane, like Rav Ovadia, Rav Yoshev, and others. Some people hold no aninus on the plane because a plane is not as different than the Rambam's journey because it's a cargo hold you can't get to, like Rav Usher Weiss and Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach and Rav Usher Weiss. Okay, and I think the most common minhag is that there's still aninus on the plane. That's what most farms say. That's how a Rabbi Kiva Eger understands this Ramah. There's another way to understand the Ramah, which is that the Avel's not traveling with the body. The Avel's waiting for the body to come. The Avel's waiting for the body to show up. Like the Avel's in America, in Eretz Yisrael, and his relative died in America, and he's waiting for the body to come from America to Eretz Yisrael. And then what the Ramah is saying is if the body's going to come very quickly, then he's an onen. If the body is going to take a while to get here, then he is not an onen. Okay, this is a very common thing, right? This is a very common thing. What if the, again, someone's relative dies in America and they bring them to bury in Israel. 2 days later, the body's going to get to Israel. And meanwhile, the relative here is twiddling his thumbs. It could also happen the opposite. What if not the body's traveling? Not exactly the case, but the relative's traveling, right? The relative died in New York, and the Avel is going to travel to New York. It's going to take a little while to get to New York before he to participate in the funeral. So halach l'maisa, what about all these cases where there is not traveling with the body, but you're waiting for the body to get to the relative, or waiting for the relative to get to the body? So here it is a big machlokes. Pnei Baruch says, says that Pnei Baruch, and he's usually based on Rebbe Yoshev, that if the relative has to fly to get to the body, then he's not an onen till he lands in the same city. And he's not an onen until he gets to that city. And if the body is coming to the relative, then that's the case. Darma, if it takes 2 days, then he's not an onen until the body gets here. So it seems, Darma, that if it's going to be 2 days or more till the relative gets to the body or the body gets to the relative, then there's no aninus. That's a hefsek in the aninus because of all the travel. If it's going to be less than 2 days, then it sounds like there's still aninus. Okay, Rav Usher Weiss, right? Not everyone agrees to this. So Rav Usher Weiss Paskins, this new contrast that his Talmud put out, that if it's going to be a long trip over the ocean and it's going to be less than 2 days, but still a long trip, then even though there's still aninus, he thinks the person should do mitzvah. They should just refrain from Basar Yayin as a pshara. Okay, so just to summarize, if someone's traveling with the mace, it's always less than a two-day trip nowadays, then they are still an onain. If they're in a plane, it's a machlokes. Most people say they're still an onain. If you're waiting for the body to get to, the relative waits for the body to get to him, right? The relative's in the right place. The body's in the wrong place. So he's waiting for the body to arrive. If it's more than 2 days, he's not an onain. If it's in 2 days, then he is an onain. But Rav Asher Weiss says he should still do mitzvahs, just refrain from basar yayin because it's not 100% clear. If the relative is traveling to the funeral, then says the Pnei Baruch, in that case he thinks he's not an onain until he gets there. If it's a decent trip, even if it's not 2 days. Rav Asher Weiss says when there's a case of a travel that's less than 2 days, he thinks one should sort of be machmir, like make some shara and refrain from basar v'yayin, etc., but do mitzvos. Okay. Let's just briefly run through a little more, at least Sif Dalid. We're a little behind, but maybe we'll skip some of the non-so practical parts of the coming, some of the coming simanim. Dalid, Misha Meis B'Tfisa, but Dalid is very connected to what we talked about until now. Lo Nita L'Kfor, someone who died in jail, like, of course, the famous Maharabi Rittenberg, and the government won't let you bury him. Lo Chal Akrov Maninas, V'Gam Avelus Ochal Leim, Kemish Lomis Yashu Mi Le'Kavro. There's no Aninas, because not Mutal of Neim, there's nothing they can do. There's also no Avelus, because they haven't given up on burying yet. So they're in limbo. The chemi shenereg v'derek ograr to chayo shot for narvel and sashim lekavro ain't all akrom lo din aninus lo kina avelus and monim lo shivu shloshing yom shesashim lekavro. Avelus only starts when you give up on burial. So until they gave up on burial, there's no avelus. But there's no aninus because there's nothing they can do. If a force, basically the principle is a force beyond your control keeps you from doing anything, then there's no din of aninus. And so in this case, there's no aninus, and there is no avelus. The post can point out that it's the same thing if the relatives are in jail, right? If the relatives are in jail, then also there's no din of aninus, because if they're in jail, then there's nothing they can possibly do about it. Just two details. Number one, the Shach points out a difference between whether the government wants money to release the body or whether it's personal. If they want money to release the body. If it's personal, they won't release the body out of Sina, then we consider that to be Yeyosh from Kfura. And once there's Yeyosh from Kfura, then Avelus starts right away. But if it's just a matter of money, you're never nisyayish because you can always just bargain the guy. One other interesting discussion that Pesach Tshuva discusses, in the days of the Yehuda, they made a rule you couldn't bury anyone for at least 48 hours. Why? Because they were afraid you would bury people alive. So they wanted to make sure the guy was really dead. So what about within those 48 hours? What's the din? So this is a big machlokes. L'chora, we hold like this Noda Yehuda. That even though they say we can't bury for 48 hours, since you know that exactly in 48 hours you'll have a levaya, and you have a lot to prepare during those 48 hours, therefore there's still aninos. That's what Noda Yehuda says here. Rav Schechter in his Piskei Korona, I forget it, series 8 or something, came out with something recently. There's a big backlog of burials now in New York because of coronavirus, unfortunately. You have to wait many days till there could be a kvura because there's a backlog. Basically, someone calls the Chevra Kadisha, says my relative passed away. They say, well, it's a big backlog. It's going to take time. There's nothing you can do now. Just don't do anything. What happens in that case? So Rav Schechter paskind, I'm sure everyone here is following Rav Schechter's Piskei Korona on the internet. Rav Schechter paskind, and then in that case, he thinks that's different than the case in the Noda Yehuda. Noda Yehuda, you knew in 48 hours there'd be a levaya, and you'd be able to bury, and you just have to make preparations. So even though you don't have 48 hours worth of preparations, maybe you only have 12 hours worth of preparations, that's still aninus, meso mutl funim. In this case, the guy has no idea when the burial will be, and there's no preparations he can do because he doesn't know when the burial will be. No, who do you know? The guy passed away at 2 p.m. on Monday. 2 p.m. Wednesday, you already called the levaya, you're preparing. That's mutl funim. In this case, they have no idea when the levaya will be. And therefore, he says, that's like tfisa. That's like in jail. It's not misyash for the cover. They know within a week they'll be able to bury. But it's like the tfisa, it's like the dead bodies in jail, not because of any animus, just because of circumstances. And therefore, Shechter Paskin, there'd be no aninus in that, there'd be no aninus in that case. Okay, I see the hour is already late, so I think we'll have to call it a day now. we'll pick up Amir Tzashem on Sunday. And try to cover some ground. I apologize that I'm so lochotz for finishing Hilchos Avelos, but really Shimim Aleph is jam packed with Halach Lamaisa, so it's okay that we went a little slower. Some of the other Simanim are more are not quite as jam packed. So we'll continue Amir Tzashem with Shir on Sunday at the same time. If anyone has, everyone's welcome to go back to Seder or Lechulus Lesivlo Seichem, whatever it may be. If anyone has questions, obviously this is a great time to ask.
Thank you, Eddie.
Okay, have a great afternoon.